Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Friday edition of Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak leading you up to some LSU baseball action. The Tigers had a big 5-2 win yesterday against Tennessee. Dramatic game, of course. Paul Skeens putting on a dominating performance. Unfortunately, didn't get the win, but the Tigers now get into game two against these Tennessee Volunteers. Hard to believe they had a six-game losing skid against them. Snap that. Now go for the series win today with a victory. Also, we got LSU basketball women's Final Four action starting up.
Sure do.
The ladies in Dallas. Ladies first, because the men go tomorrow. So, yeah, like everything else, ladies first. Virginia Tech, a tough matchup for these Tigers. Going to be interesting to see. Obviously seen a ton about their two big players leading up to this matchup. And, Jeff, I don't know how much you have followed women's basketball in the past or even this year, but with this LSU run that's been going on this season, it's definitely gained more of my attention, and I'm sure a lot of the fans too.
I would say just because of where I grew up, I followed women's basketball a lot more than most.
I was going to say, you probably did, right?
I grew up with Swing Cash winning all these titles and Sue Bird. And like, Sue Bird was out visiting the teams in the Elite Eight, and everyone was like going crazy. I was like, I remember Sue Bird in college and Diana Taurasi and all them. But no, I mean, women's basketball is really having a moment right now.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's interesting to see because, you know, it's always been around, but I don't remember it being talked about like it is right now. And, you know, there's some perspective of, yeah, we are in Louisiana and LSU is a thing and we're all really enjoying it. But I think just across the board, you are hearing a lot more about the women's tournament than you have in the past. And I think it's really cool. Caitlin Clark is basically the Steph Curry of women's college basketball right now, taking logo threes. And, you know, tickets to the women's Final Four are more expensive than the men's Final
Four. It's wild, right?
Like, I was looking at the championship game on Monday. The tickets are like $36 for the men's.
That's crazy. That's unbelievable to think about.
And I remember, obviously, I was here. The Final Four was here last year, and you had Duke and North Carolina, and that was Coach K's final game. And so those tickets were insane.
I guess with those quote-unquote blue bloods in the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Like, last year you had Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and Villanova.
Yeah.
This year you have UConn, who's the only one that actually you know of in terms of from a college basketball perspective, Miami, San Diego State, and Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, everyone's like, who?
Right.
The Owls? Who?
Yeah. Anyway, but no, it's LSU women tip off at 6. I don't know much about Virginia Tech, but I do know that Kim Mulkey with Baylor played Virginia Tech in the Elite Eight. No, second round. Round of 32. And beat them by 42 points.
Right. And now all those girls that were on that team are seniors, she's saying.
It was virtually the same.
So they're
the
looking for
roster.
A little payback for sure, right?
Right. And the coach was there too, and he remembers that. And so, yeah, they're gonna be motivated. And that's what Kim talked about in her press conference yesterday. Like, you know, Virginia Tech, they don't have the you know, Aaliyah Bostons and the Caitlin the Kitleys and the Caitlin Clarks, but they do have senior, graduate, junior, right? And, you know, that's going to be a very difficult thing for her team to manage because it's the Final Four. You know, that's not a normal game. It's the Final Four. That doesn't happen for teams very often.
Definitely even, a big even gut check time, right?
Yeah.
And having that continuity, obviously being that time on task together, will be a huge advantage for Virginia Tech. But, you know, obviously this has been that magical run for Kim Mulkey and this Tiger crew. 2 years now, and just that so quick of success. You wonder, what would she have been able to have, though, this quick of success, though, without the transfer portal, which is pretty amazing?
Absolutely not.
No, right.
No way. No way. It has changed college sports in a fundamental way in terms of program building. And there's, like, we can pretend it hasn't, but it has. You could not have built this roster the way she did. She could have had a very good roster right now in terms of young players and maybe a transfer or two that sat out last year and is just getting into the action now. But she would not have this type of roster the way she has it right now. And, you know, the being able to bring in recruits is now part of what being a successful college coach is, right? Look at Jay Johnson, like Paul Skeens. I mean, he brought in an ace the transfer portal.
And that's something me and Charlie were texting back and forth actually last night. It was like, to me, I was like, when he was coming in, yeah, I knew the guy was going to be good. But I was like, Air Force? Really? I mean, I wasn't thinking he was going to be this dominant of a pitcher in the SEC coming from the Air Force.
No, I mean, like, the transfer portal changes games, changes leagues. Look at Jaden Daniels.
Right.
Transfer. Joe Burrow. Transfer. That was before, you know, the transfers just went crazy. Right, it is a different game right now, and if you can't dominate the transfer portal, you can't dominate the league.
Yeah, so we're going to have 6 o'clock first pitch of LSU-Tennessee Game 2 right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, the women's Final Four action, Lady Tigers versus the Lady Hokies, that's going to be on the Bet 92.9 FM, 1350 AM, also the Odyssey app. When we come back, we're going to get the Cajun Cannons take on a few things. Coming back with more on WWL here after the break.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak. And on the line with us, the Oakwin Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. How you doing this Friday, Cajun Cannon?
Well, I'm in St. Louis, and looks like there's tornado warnings in Arkansas and a little bit north of where I am in Iowa. So, yeah, you know, we kind of worried. It's like 70-some degrees here, so that cold weather meeting that warm weather. So, yeah, I think we could be on the tornado watch in St. Louis tonight.
Well, the LSU ladies, they were under a hurricane warning last game. We've got a Hokie watch or a Hokie warning, I guess, for tonight. Big matchup, obviously. And me and Jeff were just saying how much that, not just here, just in general, women's basketball seems to be something that's been on the rise right now. But you look at this LSU team and what Kim Mulkey has now brought to Baton Rouge, it's hard not to jump on board when you've got this type of winner around.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, hey, I know in Louisiana and just supporters of LSU, it's just sports in general, if a team wins, they will come. It just looked like women's gymnastics at LSU, how they packed the PMAC. And they've done that with LSU Lady Tiger basketball. So that comes to territory. And Kim Mulkey, it's like almost too good to be true how quickly she's turned this around. But it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen with Virginia Tech. You know, you look at the Hokies, they're making their first Final Four appearance, but they were number one seed. And I didn't realize this, but they're on a 15-game winning streak right now, second only to unbeaten South Carolina. So you know how impressive that is. And, you know, everybody, you look, okay, well, who's their stud players, their top two, and, you know, that 1-2 punch. And Coach Mulkey said that they have two of the best twosomes in the nation, and two-time ACC Player of the Year, forward Elizabeth Kitley. Look at her. Then they got. She said, "This being Coach Mulkey, a lightning quick point guard in Georgia Moore." And then you look at Kitley, a 6'6", yeah, 6'6" post player. She's scoring 25, averaging 25 points. Well, I should say, when they beat Ohio State, she had 25 points and 12 rebounds. And then you look at, Moore, I mean, with her ball handling and her skill set, it's kind of very similar to what you see in LSU, how we count on the twosome of Angel Reese and point guard Alexis Morris. But like Reese, you know, Kitley averages a double-double with 18.3 points a game, 10.5, 11 rebounds. So that's where she's going to be at. But this is why I remember Coach Valkyrie had her on. She also said that she's one of the nation's premier shot blockers. She has 77 blocks on the season, which is like a 2.5 average per game. And then you look at like Moore, and we all know when LSU had one game they did lose this year was to Tennessee. Well, their little guard, Georgia Moore, had a career-high 29 points in their victory against Tennessee in the Sweet 16. And she's averaging like 16.5 points and 5 assists. So it's going to be a big challenge. And I know Coach Mulkey got a lot of respect over there, Coach Brooks. I think his first name's like Kenny Brooks. And, you know, he's gotten, when you say, look what he's done at Virginia Tech, he's gotten them to the NCAA tournament now for the third consecutive season. And she says somewhere, you know, during next season when he's coaching at Virginia Tech, he's going to have his 500 career victory. So he's been around, and he knows what he's doing. And the one thing that we're watching tonight, and Coach Mulcahy brought this up, just look at because, you know, Angel Reese needs to stay out of foul trouble because that could be an Achilles heel, you know, back-to-back games. I just can't see his shooting as poorly. But there's going to be a key for Angel Reese also. Coach Mulcahy said that with going against Kittley, what's a problem with her, you look at her height, but her ability to shoot the face-up jumper and that she's not just a back-to-the-basket post player, that she's way more versatile than that. So I think if LSU beats Virginia Tech, it'll be well-earned to get to that championship game. And I think right now the way it's unfolded, boy, you look at Iowa, they might have the best player in the country, how she can jack it up everywhere, and obviously South Carolina. So I really do think there's no Cinderellas here. I truly think you have, like, the four best in women's college basketball in the Final Four.
So, Bobby, do you know what a Hokie is?
No, the thing is they got more than one mascot, though, Jeff. They also have the Gobblers. Now, the Gobblers, the turkey.
Yes, a Hokie, a Hokie is a turkey. It is.
A Hokie is a turkey.
It is very much a turkey. So it is LSU versus the turkeys.
So we're playing a bunch of turkeys tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, we're playing a bunch of turkeys. Probably that can jump, though.
Well, speaking of a bunch of turkeys, LSU made the Vols look like a bunch of turkeys last night out at Alex Box Stadium. You know, what's his name?
What was that? Jordan. What was the final score?
5-2.
5-2. Boy, that's impressive.
Jordan Thompson had the bases clearing double in the eighth inning there. Gavin Dugas also hit a moonshot. What did you think of that game? Did you get to watch it? What do you think of LSU so far?
I was actually flying to St. Louis and just keeping up with the highlights. And the only thing is, I was reading this also that you know how scouts are always intrigued with top players and. You know, they can watch film and all that, but they almost want to be in that number. I heard at the box that you're probably looking at, they could be incognito, maybe out in the open, but 100 or more scouts are going to be at the LSU, Major League Baseball scouts for the LSU-Tennessee game. And I guess when you have three of the top five overall 2023 Major League draft picks in the game, potentially, like Dollander, Dylan Cruz, and, you know, Paul Skeen, so... you know, it's like must-see college baseball, but it doesn't get any easier. Jeff, what do you know or see, like with Burns? Is that who's pitching tonight, or is he pitching on Sunday?
Burns?
For Tennessee?
Oh, I'm not sure. I haven't scouted Tennessee that much.
For Tennessee,
much,
Burns is going tonight, okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
he is going tonight?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it okay, this is a household name, too, SC Baseball. He is second in the SEC right now with strikeouts, and he's only behind Skeens. So I think that's pretty good when you look at the sample size so far. He has 59 strikeouts, and he's holding opponents to .208 batting average. So it's going to be a challenge every game, but I just think, you know, Tennessee is good, but LSU's are you could say Tennessee's great, but we're greater. Are, you know, they're good, we're very good, whatever you want to talk about. But even when they go with, like, their other top pitcher, and I could see utilizing him on Sunday, Beam,
right.
I was reading where their drawbacks, where their fastballs are hittable. What they do, they throw junk, and they can get you to not necessarily come out on top. But you know, if you look at the Tigers, you know, coming into this, that they were batting, which is ridiculous. And the reason why I say ridiculous, I don't know if they can keep this up, but batting .339 as a team, which is first in the SEC. And then the reason why I say .339, I look at last year, the Tennessee Vols, how hot they were and how dominant they were on offense. They ended the year at the top of the SEC at .308, and LSU's at .339. So the bottom line is got to win two out of three. You know, like we were all discouraged after they lost that first game to Arkansas. Then they bounced back, to say the least, the next two and crushed Arkansas. But I think I'm good for Paul Skeens to get that win for him, because the way he's pitching, he don't deserve to lose any game. So hopefully LSU can come out on top, and they don't really have to stress out over Sunday. But when all said and done, they got to win 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I think Paul Skeens was the hard luck no decision yesterday. But, no, he's been every bit of the stud that he was advertised to be. And Steve and I were talking about this when we came on. The transfer portal has just completely changed the prospects of, like, you take over a program, and then you look at Kim Mulkey, you look at Jay Johnson, and it just snap your fingers, bring those stars in, and all of a sudden, you know, that is your biggest chip as a coach. You're like, oh, I can recruit the players that have already been recruited by somebody else, and that's right. Who I'm going to win with. It's really kind of remarkable when you see how it's happened so quickly with both of these programs.
Yeah, well, look at Tommy White. I mean, what he did as a freshman. Oh, right. You live in North Carolina State, come to LSU. You know, he's not getting probably as much recognition as he deserves because, I mean, you got Dylan Cruz. But look at Tommy White. Tommy Tanks, he's batting .390. I don't know if he was going like 9 doubles, 8 home runs. He's only a sophomore. But every team, all the top teams are going to have this. Jeff, like you were saying, you look at probably their most – highly touted position player for the Volunteers, if I'm pronouncing this right, Maui Ahuna, a transfer shortstop from Kansas. So he's the stud, probably the best shortstop in the nation. He's playing for the Kansas Jayhawks. But then, it's not necessarily the hitter that he is, but probably they said he might be the scouts. I was reading where they said he might be the most talented defensive player, and he's projected – as going like somewhere like 20, 21, 22 in the first round of this year's draft. So you basically watch it like AAA baseball with major league players when you watch it at LSU in Tennessee.
Hey, Bear, you mentioned you were out of town, my man. What you doing in Missouri right now?
Yes, I'm coming to see Bo. You know, he finally got engaged. Said it's about time. I don't know, this day and age, you know, they wait till their 30s to get married, so as long as they support yourself. But
he was making sure it was the right girl.
Yeah, oh no, she is a great girl. But she's from Missouri. He got a great job up in St. Louis. He goes, Dad, it's cold in Missouri. I said, well, it ain't that cold. I said, you got a good job. You got to go wherever the work is. But yeah, I'm here. We're going to have a good time. Tomorrow, as soon as hopefully this tornado passes and no harm, no damage. But I couldn't make it to opening day Major League Baseball with the Cardinals and the Blue Jays. So we're going tomorrow at 1:30 to see the St. Louis Cardinals against the Toronto Blue Jays. And then I'm all in the pro sports. And on Sunday, I'm going to see arguably one of the greatest hockey teams in history, the Boston Bruins. Right. I still think they might have a chance. They're playing the St. Louis Blues. And so we're going to go that on Sunday. And then I think we're going to the future in-laws after the Cardinals-Blue Jays game and watch the Final Four and just, give them a little Cajun hospitality when I'm up here because they like to have a good time. I like to have a good time with them, too.
Have you been to either of those venues in the past for the Cardinals or for the Blues? Because I know both are big, big-time venues when it comes to fan support.
Oh, yeah. No, a Cardinal baseball, that's one thing I was kind of jokingly, tell people, oh, I'm from, like, the state of Alabama. Oh, I like the Auburn Tigers, and I like Alabama Crimson Tide. You're probably not from Alabama. You got to choose one or the other. Well, around here, so let's say, you can cross, Mississippi River, then you're in Illinois and stuff. Now Chicago's the northern part of the state. But you can't say you're a Cubs fan and a Cardinals fan. No, they can't stand each other. And so I guess I'm on that Cardinals bandwagon. But, yeah, they're into baseball. They know their baseball. That'd be interesting to see. You know, Missouri Tigers swept the Tennessee Vols. That it seems like right. Missouri Tigers baseball could get better because they have the fan support. If you got a good team, they'll come and they support, the Cardinals. And obviously the Blues won the Stanley Cup in 2019, and they have chance, and they're into it. So I guess since the Rams left and went out to Los Angeles, now they're even promoting and they're playing. I don't know if they even call it the Edwards Dome anymore, but the St. Louis Battlehawks in the XFL. And I think, is there a quarterback like Jeff and Steve. Remember, I think it's A.J. McCarron.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Remember, yeah, I think he's the XFL St. Louis Battlehawks quarterback. But they're into the baseball with the Cardinals and then the Blues and hockey.
Have you been watching the XFL at all, Bobby? Because I've caught a few games, and one of the interesting things to me is when you watch the game, they actually mic up the play caller. And so you hear him calling the plays. And I just found it fascinating. Like if there was any reason I could get into watching the XFL, just to watch these guys be like, no, 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 run that same play again. Run that same play again. It worked.
Right, right, right. I'm actually, to tell you the truth, I know the USFL is getting ready to get started in the middle of April. And I think what they do, the conflict with the XFL and USFL, I think they both can work because it's a TV product.
Yep.
You know, they can sell the advertising. And the one thing, I think with the USFL, that is like a Fox NBC product, where the XFL is like ESPN. Mm-hmm. And so they're competing. And really, the new USFL, or the second year now, they don't even embrace the old USFL players, because that was all like when ESPN just got started and it was on ABC. So the conflict there, but I think it can work. It's a TV product. But to say I've sat down and watched a whole XFL game, I know I've watched highlights. I think who's really good, the Houston Roughnecks. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, if people might not know the Roughneck, you know, you work offshore and you're a roughneck in the oil industry. So they're pretty good. But I really, Jeff, just watched highlights so far on the XFL.
Bobby, always thank you for the time on Friday. Be talking to you next week. Do you have any predictions for the Final Four? Is anyone going to be able to take down this UConn Huskies team?
I don't know. Since talking to Coach Schlesinger, he's pretty close with that Florida Atlantic coach. So I don't know.
Okay.
Why not Florida Atlantic? So I don't know. The Owls.
Go Owls. Right.
Hold on to victory.
Appreciate it. That's the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We'll hear from you next week on Sports Talk.
All right. Talk to you later, Jeff and Steve.
Thanks, man.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk after the break. Steve and Jeff coming back after this.
So something I just learned, Angel Reese and Jordan Hawkins, the shooting guard for UConn, they're cousins.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that crazy? It's like how Michael Thomas and Keyshawn Johnson are related. It's like, how does that happen? Anyway.
Both could end up champions.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Jordan has a slightly better chance considering the teams he has to go against, as opposed to, you know,
the
Angel is
going
to have to go through South Carolina to get there probably. But no, it's just kind of wild when you think, because there's a video on Twitter of like the Angel sent Jordan a nice message saying, good luck, I'm finally rooting UConn for once.
Did you happen to see the Lil Wayne hype video that the LSU women have?
Yes, I did.
Getting all pumped up. Wasn't he rooting though for the Miami Hurricanes?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I was like, wait a minute.
Slightly awkward. You know, I think he's a big fan of the Cavender twins. Technically, they're the ones who said that he was rooting for Miami. He never said that. So maybe this was kind of a consolation. Be like, oh, my bad. No, I'm from there.
I got you. Let me get you with this hype video.
Although he's not a Saints fan, so like I don't know how to treat that.
No, and I forget recently, too, at a basketball game where he was attending.
Pretty sure he's a Lakers fan. He's not a Pelicans fan.
Yeah, it was not at a Pelicans game.
He's not a Pelicans fan.
Charlie's even giving me the gag me.
Yeah. But no, the LSU's hype videos are undefeated. I think it was 2019 for the National Championship one where they had The Rock.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
How did
right.
they get these guys? I wonder how it's
well, Coach
take.
O. Coach O's got The Rock in his Rolodex.
Does he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, from Miami days.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't think about
it's
that.
It's amazing. Yeah, the connections.
Yeah, good for him.
We brought up the Pelicans briefly right there, and that's a good transition. We wanted to talk about their win last night. And this team now, Brandon Ingram. What's happened? He's come alive. Had his first triple-double last week, and now he's got his second one of his career now.
He's a triple-double machine.
Going on the road.
Yeah, I think the Pelicans have really benefited from a couple teams that
kind of bowed out.
Aren't really trying, you know, like the Blazers. You know, the Nuggets didn't have Jokic last night. Obviously, they are trying, but they're the top seed in the Western Conference. I almost said the NFC. In the Western Conference, so they don't exactly – and they're three games up on the Grizzlies.
Right.
So if Jokic has like a, you know, a sore big toe, he's
not
going to
here.
He's not going to play. And that wasn't shade at Brandon Ingram, but it kind of sounds like it was. Either way, you still got to win those games. Still got to go out and win those games. And I think, you know, in the really bad years, they wouldn't have won those games. And the way they've done it is impressive. They're going to make the playoffs. unless everything goes wrong. They have 5 games left.
It would have to be pretty disastrous at this point, right?
In order to miss, I think they would have to go 1-4 at
in the final 5, right?
Yeah, 1-4, 0-5. If they go 3-2 even, or 2-3 even, I'm pretty sure they'll make it. They want to be the 7 seed at worst. So I think if you go 3-2, you're probably going to get there. It's going to be really tough for them to catch the Warriors. That's the frustrating thing about that 20-point blown lead the other night, because if you win that game, man, you're sitting pretty. You have the tiebreaker over the Warriors, and you're just like, all right, let's see. Maybe we can avoid this play-in entirely, but I think best case now you're looking at 7, and it's going to be really interesting if they have to play the Lakers in that game.
The great thing, at least, Jeff, the 4 out of the last 5 are at home, so we're going to get a big taste in the Smoothie King Center of this team gearing up for whatever kind of playoff run it ends up being. And another big positive of last night was before the game,
Zion.
Yeah, seeing him not street clothes, in workout clothes, on the court doing some drills and knocking down some jumpers, even doing a dunk. And I was like, all right, so how close are we to him getting back?
Technically, we'd still consider those street clothes.
I guess, but at least it wasn't, you know.
Well, like I think of street clothes as like, okay, you're wearing your jersey, you're not wandering around on the street in the jersey, but you might walk around in
practice gear on.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, he was working out, he was doing stuff. He wasn't just sitting there in a turtleneck, which is helpful. That's what you want to see, is him out of the turtleneck,
showing off the diamonds and chains.
And that's the question, right? So you're getting to that range where they said 2 weeks will we evaluate him, and maybe he can get on the floor. And you're talking maybe the last 3 games, more likely the last 2, and if he can get out there at least one game, at least one kind of ramp-up game, you feel a little better. I don't want his first game back to be a play-in game.
Agreed.
Right? And so you really want to see him back for at least one to kind of get his legs under him and see what he can do, see how much run you can get out of him. Because what I worry about is this team is actually playing pretty well right now, relatively speaking, compared to how they've played much of the second half of this season. And what you don't want to do is try to reincorporate Zion on the fly, and then all of a sudden kind of that momentum you've built is just shot, and you end up bowing out into playing games because you tried to get cute and put him in. And I think if you're the Pelicans and you make it to a playing game, you might sit him for the playing game and hope, and then try to bring him back for a series, right?
Right.
You don't want to have to make any experiments during that one game play-in. Or 2-game play-in if they lose. So that's something that we're going to have to watch.
When we take a quick break, want to get back to our phone lines. We'll get to Jimmy and Gretna and all the rest of our calls on the Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Want to hear from you. 504-260-1870. Back after this on WWL. Yeah, false start on Steve. Friday foul. Sorry about that.
March him on back.
We'll get right into the phone lines is what I wanted to say. And Jimmy and Gretna has been hanging on. What you want to talk about today, Jimmy?
What up?
Hey, y'all. Hey, listen, I love the fact y'all are talking about the Pelicans because everybody's focused on Hogs for the Cause and the Irish Parade tomorrow in Chalmette and catching groceries there and all this other stuff for spring and festival season. Look, the Pelicans, after last night's win, and you guys are talking about Zion kind of getting inching closer and closer to returning. I think, honestly, about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, they were on the fence, like, okay, unless we have a miraculous run, we're probably going to shelve Zion because there's no point in bringing him back. We're not going to make the playoffs and risk further injury. Well, guess what's happened? We've won 6 of 7, and I'm calling out the city because, look, let's look at the timeline here. The Saints were what? People started getting on board with the Pelicans, right? In November, they were doing great. Zion was dominating the league. Then he gets hurt. Ingram gets hurt. Everything falls apart. And we've won 6 of 7 now, and we're basically the playoffs are not only in reach, we're in position basically to make it. And we have 4 home games starting tomorrow night, and I'm calling the city out to become a basketball city again right here on y'all's show. They got to step up tomorrow night. They got to step up, I think, Tuesday and Wednesday we got games, and then the home finale is a week from tonight, guys. So we got 4 home games coming up back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Tickets are like $10 for tomorrow night's game on StubHub on the secondary market, and super cheap, totally affordable. We got to pack it out because, look, we still don't have Zion and Alvarado. The crowd is going to win these games for us, okay? They can win the games for us. So, yes, I'm telling everybody listening, come out to the Pelicans game tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and the finale next Friday. I think if we win 3 of these 4, it doesn't really matter what else happens, whoever does whatever they do. I think we're going to make the playoffs. I really do. And as far as Zion's concerned, I think they are preparing him for the return because now we are relevant again. So, again, we got to turn this into a basketball city this week, starting tomorrow night against the Clippers. So, over and out, I hope y'all come out there.
Jimmy, when you're talking about playoffs for the Pelicans, are you saying in the top six, or are you just expecting to be in the play-in? Okay, Jimmy ended up dropping out. I was just curious there because, yeah, I think there's still obviously that chance this team could end up a playoff, not just a play-in participant.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You're down. You're a game behind the Warriors in the loss column, but they do have that win. So, you know, the Pelicans, if they win, they get to 40-38, they're a game back, right? And it's just, you know, it's just a numbers game. And this time of year, it's really tough because unless you have head-to-head matchups, it's really tough to gain ground because so many teams aren't actively pushing toward the playoffs, right? Like, even when the Pelicans play the Grizzlies in the finale, right? What type of Grizzlies team are the Pelicans going to get in that game? I would guess they get a very light Grizzlies team because they're probably going to be locked into their seed and be resting. Although John Morant's got plenty of rest over the last couple months for reasons we don't need to get into too deeply. But yeah,
I'm just looking too now at Golden State's schedule just to see what they're looking at, and it's San Antonio at Denver, OKC at Sacramento, and at Portland. So
yeah, so that's three wins programmed in. Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, not even gonna be a question. Yeah. And so yeah, you heard? Did you hear that, City? Jimmy's calling you out.
Right.
Do your thing.
Pack the Smoothie King Center. But you know what? It's gonna be interesting to see like what kind of atmosphere can you get during the week. It's always tough for I would imagine packing that house on the week. The weekends are a totally different story.
I do think it's a good point though, because earlier this year I think there was a lot of energy, there was a lot of fan energy around this team, and for good reason that kind of waned, right? When you lose 10 games in a row, I mean, in certain cities, yeah, sure, the fans will not lose any enthusiasm whatsoever. In New Orleans, you know, a 10-game losing streak is hard to keep people's attention through, and I think a lot of people have tuned out because it's been so brutal over the second half of the season. But they have started playing really good basketball at the right when they needed to. They're going to go into the playoffs with momentum, or at least the play-in with momentum. And, you know, I think this is – what else is going on, right? Like, it's not like it's not Saints season. Right, go yell for the Pelicans for a couple weeks.
Yeah, we got LSU baseball. Obviously, that's coming up at 5:30 pregame coverage here. 6 o'clock first pitch. That's obviously
they
going
set an
on.
Attendance record yesterday.
Unbelievable in Alec Box Stadium, and LSU women's basketball tonight too. 6 o'clock on the Bet 92.9 FM, 1350 AM, and obviously the
Odyssey
app as well.
They'll be done by Sunday either way, so you have no excuses.
No, there's just LSU baseball would be throwing a wrench in obviously Pelicans plans, but yeah, right now the playoffs have really started for this team. Obviously,
yeah, they started seven games ago, right?
So yeah, with those final four home games that we have during this. Let's see what we got, New Orleans. I'm Steve. That's Jeff. We'll be back with more sports talk after this on WWL.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.